Hi, this is Ryan Brocco from the Dallas Mavs, and I recommend you buy an NBA Australia t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah. NBA Australia. How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Australia. It's Thursday, October 17. I am your hungover host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, whoever else wants to sling me a few pineapples here and there. That's that walking around money, that booze money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it. Of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA preseason today, breaking down and wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while we're having Australia just a little bit, mate. That's what we do. All right. So, we're under the fifth of our season preview shows. Jesus. Crushing it. Today covers the fucking prove it, mate, tier, which is pretty great. Five teams today. Yeah, for the last, these two tiers coming up, we've got five teams in the last four. So, good stuff. All right, we are smashing through all 30 NBA teams, looking at their off-season moves, asking some questions about their key dudes, trade bait, one big question each, the good shit, the bad shit, and predict their final record and position and all that sort of fun stuff in between. There's also a bit of yeah, nah for each of them, as well as today some actual yeah, nahs, a bit on LeBron and China, some contract guff ahead of the deadline for rookie extensions, and we've got a bit of a Kickstarter update, which is nice. And then we're going to finish up with a brand new Rowdy's Recos. Unbloody real. I'm stoked to have that back. All right, great show, boys. Let's get into it. Episode 336, NBA Australia. Let's go. The worst of
this. This is Matthew Delvedover, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack. Ah!
You better. I better watch out for, Mayo Zay LeBron? Jesus. Better watch out for that Chinese money if you're LeBron James. Gotta protect that bag. Anyway, let's get stuck into the daily whip around. Yeah, a bit hungover today. Went to see Grinspoon last night with an old mate of mine. Holy shit. I fucking love Grinspoon. I haven't seen them for so fucking long. It was just banger after banger. Holy shit. Ended up in the mosh pit. I'm too old for that shit. You also forget how bad mosh pits smell, don't you? Jesus Christ. Anyway, they launched into More Than You Are at the very end, and I'm just like, oh, all right, here we go. Jumped in, had a bit of a laugh. It was great. But I'm also now wrecked today. Fucking sucks. The little bloke was up way too early. Old mate's up in Sydney. It's just a shit show. Anyway, NBA Australia. That's what we're going to keep on cracking through with the daily whip around. So we do have the extension deadline approaching for basically anyone who wants to get an extension done to their existing contract, rookie stuff. Next Monday, America time, is the deadline. So the Celtics have offered Jaylen Brown a four-year $80 million. $80 million extension, according to Chris Haynes of Yahoo. Checks out. I don't know if you'll take that. I wonder if he'd reckon he can play his way into more money this season. I reckon he can. What else? Bogdanovich, Sacramento Kings. He's weighing up a max contract extension from Sacramento. Either that or he goes into free agency next year. He's received a four-year $51 million extension offer. Hasn't decided whether or not he'll sign it. That's a max because of the three-year $21 million he's on. So, yeah, checks out. Speaking of the Kings, they're currently playing Melbourne United, and I can't fucking watch it because League Pass is bullshit. They've also got an offer out there for Buddy Hield. 4 years, $90 million, according to Chris Haynes as well. They're seeking a number, apparently, Hield and his agent. That's close to $110 million. Best of luck with that, Buddy. I mean, it's $20 million over 4 years. This is like, it's not even that fucking James Harden max extension that they are, that, you know, OKC got broken up by. But 4 years, 90 feels pretty fair for Buddy Hield, who was pretty bloody good last year, don't forget. But 110 for four just seems a bit on the fucking nose, doesn't it? Do you really think Buddy Hield's a $30 million a year player? That's not even really, you know, max, but 110 still. Jesus. Anyway, and the other one, Pascal Siakam and the Raps are coming very, very close to terms on extension, which would be a maximum contract over for Pascal Siakam. So that'll be interesting to see what happens before Monday. Remember, Big Simo, Ben Simmons, and Jem and Jamal Murray, the only ones from the 2016 draft class who copped that five-year, $170 million max. So, nice one. All right, other news. Anthony Davis, his thumb injury seems fine. He's cleared to play in today's Warriors game. You know, busted his right thumb. And seems good, though. So, that's all right. What else? Oh, the Bulls. That's right, the Chicago Bulls. They've named Sato Thomas Satoransky starting point guard over Chrissy Dunn and Kobe White, which is sweet. We also had an unnamed Rockets official come out and say that Carmelo Anthony last year didn't work out for the Rockets because he was a shit show on defense. Oh, really? No fucking shit, Sherlock. Jesus Christ, of course he was. He was shit. He's always been shit. It's like, oh, but, you know, our defensive schemes are pretty intricate. No, they're not. You're the Rockets. He just didn't really want to play defense, and you decided to cut bait. Just fucking say it. Right, what else? A Lakers fan. He raised $43,000 almost to hand out Stanwood Hong Kong t-shirts at the Lakers season opener against the Clippers. That's going to be fucking interesting. We're going to get to LeBron versus NBA versus China, etc. in a second. And what other preseason stuff is there? Oh, Carson Edwards for the Celtics hit 8 threes in the third quarter against the Cavs yesterday. That was pretty wild. Celtics fans were typically pretty chill about it. He's apparently already the MVP. Joining, what, co-MVP with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, I guess, this year, Celtics fans. And, yeah. Interested to see this Melbourne United-Sacramento Kings game, but I can't watch it because League Pass can eat an ass. Jesus Christ. It's annoying. That's the last NBL by NBA game today. And, yeah, I'll be at the United and Perth game on Friday. Not Friday, Sunday. Shit, there we go. Yeah, it's going to be sick. I'll be the guy in the Nick Kay jersey. Yep. Hanging out with all the Perth, my fellow Perth Wildcats fans. Nice. All right, so let's get stuck into LeBron and China, shall we? So this all broke, I think, literally like an hour after we had Tuesday's show go up. And I'm like, I could do another one. Ah, fuck it. Nah, I'm just going to do the rest of the season preview on Thursday. And then let's see how this LeBron thing spins out. Because, look, it was pretty fuck-eyed, wasn't it? LeBron out there before the Lakers game. He didn't have to say anything. He wasn't playing. He can just roll in and not talk to the media. But instead, he, like, stops everybody, goes, all right, look, I don't want to get into a feud with Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand, and he spoke. Ah, jeez. Here we go. Yep, so LeBron was like, I just think that when you're misinformed or you're not educated about something, and I'm just talking about the tweet, you never know what the ramifications that can happen. Yes, we all have freedom of speech, but at times there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and only thinking about yourself. What? Sometimes you have to think things through that you say that may cause harm, not only for yourself, but the majority of people. What are you fucking talking about, LeBron? And I think that Maury's tweet was a prime example of that. I don't want to get into a word feud with Maury, Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated about the situation at hand and he spoke. So many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and what we say and what we do. Wow. I mean, fucking seriously, LeBron? Really? Really? That's what you're going to say? So he had to clear this up. He tweeted later, let me clear up the confusion. I do not believe there was any consideration for the consequences and ramifications of the tweet. I'm not discussing the substance. Others can talk about that. My team in this league just went through a difficult week. I think people need to understand what a tweet or statement can do to others. And I believe nobody stopped and considered what would happen. Could have waited a week to send it. Oh, really, LeBron? So, look, yeah, sure, there's loads of human rights abuses and, like, you know, an undercutting of the democratic process for the people of Hong Kong. But And, you know, people are getting bashed in, like, you know, written under the thumb of China and Hong Kong and stuff. But I don't know, man, the way, like, Daryl tweeted that out, like, and it was real fucking really, really sucked because I was over there. It was a real pain in my bum. What? Oh, fuck yourself. LeBron goes after the one guy who spoke up for democracy and freedom and liberty and against, you know, an authoritarian government tyranny and all this sort of shit. And LeBron reckons that Daryl wasn't the one that wasn't educated on the issue. So, LeBron, are you trying to say that maybe Daryl needs to be re-educated? Get the fuck out of here. Look, I get that you might have been pissed that Maurice said that when you and your team were over there and it could have escalated into something, but also, that's the fucking problem. China's nuts. Look what they're doing to fucking Hong Kong. Like, who knows what they could do? Look at their response to fucking Hong Kong. That's, like, who knows what they will do and can do when they're like, oh, yeah, you know how we agreed to this one thing? Actually, fuck you. We're going to try to bring you under more of our rule. Fuck you. Jesus Christ. And, like, LeBron's like, oh, no, look, so many people could have been harmed financially, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Yeah, they are. In fucking Hong Kong, you dickhead. Look, I tweeted this out. I've got a shit ton of respect and time for LeBron James. I think he's awesome. I think he's an amazing basketball player. I think he's a really great dude. I think he fucked the pooch on this one, however. This is all ass backwards. This is fucking dumb as shit. And basically, it all comes down to shoes and Space Jam 2, doesn't it? Yep. China have 34 films a year that they let in into their, you know, from foreign markets. And considering how big basketball is there, you know, you can make back your budget happily in fucking China with Space Jam 2, couldn't you, LeBron? So he doesn't want to fucking say anything that could be construed as supporting Daryl Morey. So he fucking throws the one person who stood up for democracy, for liberty, for freedom, for Hong Kong's, you know, ability to actually continue doing what they want to do, which is have a democratic fucking voice. And LeBron's like, oh, hey, man, like, I don't know, you're misinformed or not educated about something. It's like, oh, yeah? So you don't agree with freedom of speech then, LeBron? Interesting. Yeah, so anyway, there's some interesting perspectives that popped up about this. Joe Harris talked about it. I already get paid too much to play a game, so he doesn't really worry about the financial implications of Maury's tweet, which is good. Brad Stevens popped up saying, after Daryl's tweet, I thought the most important thing that Adam could say that, and we as a league could say, is that we value the freedom of expression. So, yeah, fucking oath. But the most, I think one of the most interesting aspects was Enes Kanter tweeting out, you know, shut up and dribble, this idea of Enes talking about, you know, politics and basketball. And saying, he basically pointed out, haven't seen or talked to my family in 5 years. The job, my dad, my siblings can't find jobs. They revoked my passport. An international arrest warrant out. My family can't leave the country. Got death threats every day. Got attacked, harassed, tried to kidnap me in Indonesia. Freedom isn't free. It's a really fucking good point. And considering that LeBron is the one who, I think it was last year. And look, I'm going to talk about the some of the interesting hypocrisy in just a second. But the LeBron did tweet out, you know, the Martin Luther King Jr. tweet, and where it was, you know, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. Yeah, I mean, this is LeBron being, not being silent, but also sort of just trying to sweep under the rug some pretty important stuff. Pretty weird. Anyway, final bit of news. Deng Adel was waived by the Nets. He was always a bit of a long shot, I think, to make the roster with Znaar Musa, Rodions Kurux, Wilson Chandler, touring the Red Bull Prince all ahead of him, but still that sucks for Deng Adel. All right, cool. Let's get into a very quick an unpopular opinion of the day, Outback Takeout, in just a second, right after, let's say, this one.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Yeah, nah. Going to take a bunch of NBA storylines to decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Quick one. So, on top of that, Deng Adel news. Will Deng Adel land on an NBA team still anyways this year? Yeah, nah. Yeah, I reckon we still see him in, like, maybe pops back up again in Toronto. Like, Cleveland have got a full roster, which is a shame because I feel like they got a nice look at him last year. But I feel like Dengadal will pop up again this year. Yeah. Give me some of that. Next up, was LeBron right in saying that a player would have caught more repercussions if they did what Daryl Morey did? Yeah, nah. Yeah, but also nah. Yeah, because they probably would have been asked not to quietly. And the NBA probably would have just fucking lost their shit at the actual player. But I mean, I feel like on the down low, they lost their shit at Daryl too, right? Yeah. It wouldn't have turned into the story it did anyways. It was like if Mike Scott was out there just going, hey man, free Hong Kong. Like, China isn't going to go, all right, we're blacklisting the Sixers. You know? And I feel like Adam Silver's NBA is pretty chill on the players having freedom of expression and stuff like that. So, there's like an interesting aspect to this story where LeBron was in China, obviously, with the Lakers and then with the Nets. Kyrie was there. Adam Silver had a pretty tense meeting with them. There's a really good story in ESPN about it. How LeBron was like, hey, man, so if it was one of us that cost the NBA millions and millions and millions of dollars, you'd be fucking losing your shit. And it's like, nah, man, I'd be supporting like your right to expression. And he's like, nah, you fucking wouldn't. And it's like, kind of feel like Adam Silver maybe would a little bit, but at the same time would probably, you know, smooth it over with China a little bit easier because, you know, a player isn't exactly part of, you know, representing a franchise in the way that a, you know, key top-end executive is, you know what I'm saying? Where you can sort of just go, well, that's a blanket statement slash idea for the entire organizational franchise. Anyway, so yeah, that was interesting. I think that LeBron was like, hey man, we're all gonna shut our fucking mouths and not say shit about this. I've got shoes to protect, motherfucker. But that's it. So because next up, yeah nah, is LeBron a pussy? He should have just been more clear in his answer. And his answer should have just been like, hey man, I don't want to fuck up my bag, you know? Like, that's kind of it. It's like, I think all you need to say is like, we just need to think about what we tweet a little bit more. Maybe. Dig it. All right, finally, Ben Simmons. He actually came out today and, today. And spoke about his jumper quite openly, which is really good. Was it smart for him to do that? I loved how honest Big Simmo was. He said, it's not that I don't need to do it. It's something I'm working towards getting better at as a player. That's just my game. I'm confident in saying I'm not a great shooter. I'm getting better though, but it's a game. There's five people on the court. I lack something I'm not great at, but in other areas, I'm very great at. I run the floor as well as anybody. I'm physical. I rebound the ball at 6'10". I'm a point guard. I can guard 1 through 5, but that's just one thing that's coming into my game, which I'm excited about. I love to get better. Fuck yeah. Sign you, Big Simmo. That's fucking great. What a legend. Nice. All right. Let's do an unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. Now, so I did mention the Martin Luther King Jr. quote, and every fucking lunatic is just like, oh, see, then hypocrite. And yeah, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. It's a good point. So for LeBron to sort of, what, tweet that out, Martin Luther King Day last year, 2018, he's not a hypocrite for saying that we're not politicians as well after supporting Hillary, denouncing Trump, because I feel like people say politician, it's like, oh, well, left or right. It's like, well, no, he's pretty clearly meaning politician in like much more of a diplomatic sense. You know what I'm saying? Man, we've really fucked up the idea of like politician. It's the politician's fault for the most part. But yeah, the politician, the diplomat sense, because it sort of comes down on the Steve Kerr side of like, if you don't know much about something, then it's probably wise not to say too much about it then. I mean, if you do know a bunch about stuff, have fucking at it. I mean, LeBron knows that Trump's a fucking lunatic and he knows who sends those big ass Nike checks from China, you know? So he is being he's being diplomatic about it. He's not being a politician. He's being diplomatic. He wants to get paid. He also doesn't want to, fuck shit up. But throwing Daryl Morey under the bus was just fucked. I mean, LeBron, I feel like we could have handled this better, mate. He wasn't educated on the situation at hand and he spoke. Oh, really? Misinformed. in the ramifications. Yeah. Yeah, we all have freedom of speech, but ramifications for the negative of freedom of speech. Yeah, I mean, just ask the people of Hong Kong. All right, anyway, let's step on into Outback Takehouse. Come on in to Outback Takehouse, because it's Thursday here at Outback, and you know what that means? A free blooming onion with every piece of shit meal that you get here. That's right, a blooming onion. No bugger in Australia knows what the fuck this thing is. It's some sort of deep fried onion cut into weird fucking squares. Only at Outback. And that goes great as a side to a flame grill take. And today's flame grill take is, LeBron James got told by China, hey man, if you want Space Jam 2 to come out here, you need to throw Daryl Morey under the nearest bus and fucking pronto. Capiche? Only at Outback. I don't even know if that much is much of a flip grill take. I'm pretty sure it's exactly what fucking happened. All right, let's get to the next five teams in the NBA Australia season preview, shall we? Right after this.
Hey, this is Isaac Humphries, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
It's the NBA Australia season preview for season 2019-2020. All right, here we go. We're back. You know, the fifth tier so far in this NBA Australia 2019-20 season preview. To recap where we've been, what we've seen the absolute flogs. Charlotte, the Cavs, the Wiz, the Knicks, the fun but shit tier, which was Memphis, OKC, Phoenix, and Chicago. We had the young, dumb, full of run and gun with very special guest Goxie, Atlanta, the Pelicans, the Dallas Mavericks, Sacramento Kings. And then on Tuesday's show, we had the good but fucking yawn tier with our buddy Stav from Blue Juice helping out with his Spurs. We covered Orlando, Detroit, Miami, and the Spurs in this one. And in today's tier, it is the fucking prove it, mate, tier. We've got five teams where I'm like, you need to fucking prove something. And let's start off with number 14, shall we? It's the Indiana Pacers.
Number 14.
Yep, number 14, the Pacers. Ooh, interesting. Interesting stuff. That's right. Last year, the Pacers went 48-34. Everyone expected them to fall off a cliff without Victor on the Depot. But they still ended up fifth in the East, lost to the Celtics in the first round. Just really kind of got outclassed in the actual playoffs, though. Wild offseason, however. Victor still coming back from his quad injury after coming back from a knee injury. Indiana, five of their top eight players, all of which were older than Victor Oladipo. They went into free agency, and the Pacers brought none of them back. All five of those free agents are gone. They're replaced by players who are all younger than Victor. So they're all like, cool, we're going to build a younger supporting cast around our all-star, and let's do the fucking thing. They dropped their average age from 27 to 24 and a half, right? Crazy. Yeah, so the big splash, obviously, the additions to Indy. Malcolm, El Presidente Brogdon, huge splash. Stealing him away from the Milwaukee. I hear that's Algonquin for the Goodland Bucks. They traded, and when I say traded, I use that loosely. They stole TJ Empty Points Warren away from the Suns. Picked up TJ McConnell, Philly's most beloved son. And they also got Sleepy Eyes Jeremy Lamb. Oh, Sleepy Eyes Jeremy Lamb from the Charlotte Hornets. They also picked Goga Smash Bitaz. Bitaz? There we go. Bitaz. There we go. The big Georgian, Goga, with the number 18 pick in the draft. And as mentioned, the subtractions, they lost Bojan Bogdanovic to Utah, Darren Collison to God, Thad Young. He went to the Bulls. Corey Joseph ended up in Sacramento. And it's just weird, weird, weird times, right? Got to hope that Victor Oladipo comes back. And that's maybe a bit of a subtraction of hope as well, that he'd be back to start the season, because he's not going to be. So the key dudes for Indy going into this year, pretty interesting, isn't it? Miles Turner. Now, if you read my predictions column, I said that he might win Defensive Player of the Year and Most Improved, which is plenty good. But it's Miles Turner and the Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis, isn't it? Fascinating to see how they're going to take this season on without Victor Oladipo, because the key dude really for this team is Victor and when he comes back. Because if Victor Oladipo comes back December, you know, and the Pacers have sort of been happily treading water, doing okay, laughing. If it's been a shit show and Victor comes back and saves it or gets hurt again, who knows? Who knows what the fuck's going to happen? So pretty key element to this entire Pacers season, isn't it? Having Victor or not. Trade bait for the Pacers. Now, this is an interesting one. Obviously, they've just remade their entire team. And this has actually happened a couple of times in this tier. But look, you got to look at this roster and wonder about the Souvlaki King. I don't want to worry about the Souvlaki King because I love Domantas Sabonis. Yeah, just easy on the garlic sauce and the tomato there, Domantas. Cheers, mate. Look, I feel like Miles Turner is going to pop a lot this year. And with Goga in the fold on a rookie deal, the Souvlaki King might become extraneous. They might kick the tires on, you know, a deal here or there. At the same time, they might try to flip him and another piece for, like, fucking Kevin Love. Who knows? But that's interesting. But looking at the rest of their roster, I know, unless they lose complete faith in Miles Turner, but I feel like it's Domantas who might be the more expendable of the two bigs, especially when they drafted Goga. Yeah. Love me some Domantas. Go get him, big fella. One big question for the Pacers. When Victor Oladipo comes back and be healthy, can they then prove that they belong in the playoffs this year? With or without Victor, basically. Look, can he come back and be healthy is the big question, but can the Pacers prove that they belong in the playoff hunt this year with him or without him? They've rebuilt the team. They were like a heartwarming story last year where they just kept fucking winning and doing great stuff. They bring in Brogdon. That's awesome. So the big question of, like, can Victor come back healthy is huge, but also can they prove that they can actually do it with or without him is just really what the entire season is about for them. So for the good shit for the Pacers, Brogdon and Victor, they're one of the best backcourts going, I'd say, defensively especially. Two ball handling creators that can also shoot a little bit. They got TJ Warren for nothing to replace Bojan. As I mentioned, Miles Turner might win Most Improved Player and Defensive Player of the Year, especially after playing in the World Cup. He didn't have a great World Cup, though. That's my problem. They've also got solid backcourt depth with Sleepy Eyes, Jeremy Lamb, Aaron Holiday, TJ McConnell. But the bad shit, their biggest problems, they're real fucking thin on the wing. Outside of TJ Warren, Jeremy Sleepy Eyes, Lamb, they couldn't guard their own lunches. There's not much else. Meanwhile, they've got three bigs, Miles, Turner, Suva, and Goga, which is probably one too many for those, the modern NBA. So it's a bit of a rough one. Not much on the wings there in Indy. But at least, you know, you can play Victor, Brogdon. They're both big guards, so maybe you can get away with Warren and Lamb being your sort of main two wing dudes as well as Brogdon and Victor. So you might be okay, but I don't know. It's just the one thing that's kind of bugging me out there. What's a good season? Look, Victor comes back and healthy, returns to MVP form, and they get in the top four in the East. That's a great season. A good season is Victor comes back healthy and they make the playoffs. And Miles Turner is very, very, very good. How does their season actually play out? Look, I feel like losing Bojan Bogdanovic and Thad Young and replacing them with empty stat dudes like TJ, empty stats Warren, and Sleepy Eyes Jeremy Lamb hurts them probably more than they realize, especially defensively. And without Victor to start off the year, I feel like they're going to struggle with consistency, especially out of the gate, then struggle with consistency once he comes back as they try to work him into it. And I feel like this is going to be like a bit of a disappointing year, right? Where they're kind of like floating around, kind of in it, kind of not. They win a surprising couple of games, but then they just also drop some weird ones. It's also the way of Nate McMillan teams, I feel like. They sort of get to a point and he's just like, ah, man, I'm trying to, like, you know, not play rookies ever. Shit. So, yeah, now what has to happen? Can they win the title? I mean, I really cannot. Like, I've come up with, like, you know, 0.05% chances for a lot of the teams. Hate to break to you, Pacers fans, but
if Wichter was back and healthy already, I'd give, you know, there'd be like a 2-3% chance where you're like, everything goes 100 bajillion percent right. But without him to start the year, I just can't really see it all clicking and, you know, getting to the playoffs and then smoking everybody. So, Aussie outlook for the Pacers, bad and always is. I mean, I don't know what the fuck Larry Bird, Nate McMillan can have against Australia, against the fact that Luke Longley probably once reverse kangaed the field bank house or whatever the fuck that indie place is called, the Dunnies there, and ruined them forever. But anyway, it's weird. Not many Aussies ever on the old Pacers. So record and prediction for this year for the Indiana Pacers, 40-42, 8 in the East. That is a bit of a drop off from last year's 48 wins, but I just feel like it's going to be a bit of a struggle. All right. Let's get to number 13.
Number 13.
All right, 13. Ooh, jeebus. It's a long way to fall. For your reigning NBA champion, Toronto Raptors. Ah, shit. Poor Raps. That's right. I've got them here in the fucking prove it, mate tier. It's like, but Jimmy, they just proved it by winning the title. Yeah, but that was last year, pal. 58-34 they go last year. They won the fucking title over Golden State in six, which is really fucking weird still to think about, isn't it? I mean, Kawhi's not there. Danny Green's not there. It's just fucking weird. Anyway, so the additions for the Raptors heading into this season, Rondae, Hollis Jefferson, Stanley Spud Johnson, Cam Payne, Matt Thomas, Terrence Davis, he's an undrafted rookie. They kept Pat McCaw. The big subtractions, though, were pretty fucking big. Finals MVP, Kawhi fucking Leonard. I mean, Kawhi. Yeah, laughing his way out the door. Danny Green and fellow NBA champion Jeremy Lin all gone, too. I mean, it's pretty tough to lose Kawhi, isn't it? key dudes for the Raptors this year. Oh, boy. Are the Raptors hoping that Pascal Siakam can be an all-star again this year? Well, he can be an all-star this year. Because if not, I mean, gold. They've maybe just given him a max extension. And you'd expect Pascal Siakam to take a step up in Kawhi's absence. And there were moments last year when Siakam did go bananas and kick some ass and be fucking awesome when Kawhi was around and when he wasn't around. But there were also a lot of times where Siakam just went completely fucking missing. And you're like, what happened to this guy? So, fascinating stuff. Trade bait for the Raptors. Literally everybody on this roster not named Pascal Siakam and maybe Fred VanVleet of the Fighting VanVleets. I mean, even OG Anunoby, they would move, I think, in a heartbeat for anybody that they felt, you know, might help down the track. Gasol, Marc Gasol, Kyle, Big Booty Lowry, Serge Ibaka, even Norm Powell are all just fucking trade bait. Because this is a fascinating year for the Raptors, isn't it? Because the one big question is, can they prove that the title wasn't just because of Kawhi? The answer to that is, yeah, it probably was just because of Kawhi. Yeah, we don't answer too many of the big questions here on NBA Australia, but yeah. I've got a feeling they can't prove that the title wasn't just because of Kawhi. Because it was. The good shit for the Raps, there's still a really, really good team here. They replaced Kawhi with a combo of Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, and then brought in Stanley Spud Johnson and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. But I'll get to this in a second because that's not looking great. They've still got loads of battle-tested vets. And they've still got Golden State Warriors owner Fred VanVleet of the Fightin' VanVleets on their team. That's handy. Milwaukee Bucks part owner Fred VanVleet. Yeah, checks out. So look, still really, 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 really good veteran-laden team. Very good coach in Nick Nurse. They just won the fucking title. But they, biggest problem? Yeah, they just lost the finals MVP, dude. One of the top two players in the NBA. And also, they're old as fuck. So the wheels could come off at any point very, very quickly. But, you know, they've still got a weird mix of, like, young dudes and vets. But the vets also still have value. So that's not too bad. It's not a giant problem. They also need a shit ton more shooting and scoring now, I think, without Kawhi and Danny Green. And they're not going to get it all from Spud, Stanley Johnson, and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson because, yeah, they are horrible shooters. And so far, Nick Nurse is not really on board with Rondae and Spud, it turns out. He came out today and said that they're not adapting to how hard the Raptors play defensively. He said, I keep telling them to show me you're going to play defense. Show me you're going to play hard. Show me you understand our coverages. And they're not. Oh, brutal. So it's a good season for the Raps. Obviously, defending their title would be a good one going back to back. But yeah, nah, look, making the playoffs and seeing Pascal Siakam, turn into a star would be a good one. Otherwise, seeing Siakam turn into a star. And also not realizing it's an also realizing it's not enough and trading Gasol, Lowry, Ibaka for a shit ton of assets would also be a pretty good season, I kind of think. You know, see how it goes. How does this season actually play out, though? Well, it's an interesting one. I kind of feel like they grimly hold on as proud championship veterans and grind out a pretty fine season. But without that top-level Kawhi talent and an older Gasol and Lowry, and who fucking knows with Ibaka, he was just so up and down it hurts. I think there's a bit of a slip, obviously, and I feel like they're going to have a couple of weird swoons throughout the season that make Masai Ujiri think about trading everybody, but they don't this year, and they just head into the playoffs as a dangerous smoky and don't get past the second round. But yeah, I feel like there's just going to be a little bit too much in the sort of ups and downs this year for them. And it's going to be a lot tougher without Kawhi just to sort of swan in 60-odd games like he did last year, kick some ass, take some names. Pascal Siakam will be very good. I just kind of don't think they're going to gel quite as nicely as they did last year. Yeah. What has to happen? Can they win the title? I mean, nah, Kawhi Leonard's not working through that door, mate. And I can't see it all coming together so beautifully as it did last year. The Aussie outlook, look, bad until they re-sign Dengadel. Come on, let's do it, Raps. And finally, the record prediction for your Toronto Raptors for this year, 43-49, sixth in the East. Yep, that's a 15-win drop. But still making the playoffs. Nice. All right, sweet. Let's get to number 12.
Number 12.
Oh, the Minnesota Timberwolves, eh? That's right. I could have probably used that in the Toronto Raptors, eh? With the actual Canadian accent. Oh, but that's really cool. I really like the Minnesota Timberwolves. Wolves at number 12. Last year, they went 36-46. They finished 11th in the West. I'm still not entirely sure why I've got them over Toronto here now. I'm looking at this. Additions for the Wolves. Jake, not a layman. Noah Vonleh, Jordan Bell, NBA champion. The number 6 pick, Jarrett Culver from the draft after the they traded Dario the homie Saric. They actually added Baz Napier and Trevion Graham in a salary dump from the Warriors. They also added an official head coach in Ryan Saunders and head of basketball ops, Gerson Rojas, which is pretty cool. Subtractions, Dario the homie Saric, Jared Bayless, Luol Deng, Taj Gibson, Derek Rose, basically all the old Bulls. That Tibbs loves so much. Anthony Tolliver, Tyus Jones, and of course, friend of the program, Mitch Creek, the Creek Freak, he's gone too, which is a goddamn shame. But the Minnesota Timberwolves, and this is maybe why I still have them above the Raptors, the key dudes, it's Cat, and more Cat. Karl Anthony Towns, the big cat. Woo, Jesus. He is pretty amazing at basketball, so he is their one key dude. The entire season revolves around him. He could throw up MVP-ish kind of numbers. He could be in the MVP conversation. He is easily their key dude. Trade bait for the Wolves. This is Wiggo. Andrew Wiggins. He's like your mate Brad. All the girls might have taken a bit of a look at hooking up with him at some point in the past, right? And they're like, I don't know. I'm kind of interested. And then just ended up hooking up with some other hotter bloke. I don't know. Wait, is Brad me? No, fuck off. You be the judge. Anyway, if the, like Andrew Wiggins, as like, you know, everyone's like sort of kicked the tires and thought about it and then just going, nah, fuck it. We could probably do better. Yeah, if the Wolves can move Wiggins and his fucking insane contract, they will in a fucking heartbeat. So he is definitely trade bait. El Jefe Teague as well. I still have no idea how the fuck he's still on this team. El Jefe just comes up short in all the big moments over and over and over again. So, yeah, what is he still doing there, right? It's fucking weird. Anyway, so just as a reminder, though, the in terms of trade bait, Andrew Wiggins this year is getting paid $27 million. Next year, 29. The year after that, 31. And the year after that, 33. Wow. That's right. He's in the second year of a five-year, $147 million contract. That is literally trade bait, where everyone looks at it and goes, maybe he's good. I don't know. Anyway, one big question for the Wolves. Does Carl Anthony Towns have the killer instinct, and is he good enough to drag this team to the playoffs to win MVP by himself? Like, is he a good stats bad team guy? He can do it all. But at the same time, does he have the killer instinct to go out there, kick some ass, take some names? We had Mitch Creek on here talking about how Cat had a big, huge chip on his shoulder. But I mean, at the same time, I don't know. Let's see him play some fucking defense then, maybe. Jesus. He can do it all. But Jesus, you'd like to see a lot more effort on defense. Can he turn into Kevin Garnett 2.0 and just start slaying MFers, winning MVP, dragging teams to playoffs by himself? Because that's what it's going to be all about. That's the big question for the Wolves. The good shit, they have a potential top 10 player in the NBA and a decent supporting cast. That's some pretty good shit. You have a potential MVP on your fucking roster. You're laughing. The bad shit slash biggest problems, the supporting cast might be a bit like Ballers, not good enough, right? TV show Ballers, do you watch that? Yeah, the supporting cast is kind of like, hey, we got The Rock. And then like, yeah, the rest of it's sort of not great. But anyway, I mean, Jake Layman at the moment is their starting like, one of their starting wings ahead of like Josh Okogie and Jarrett Culver. Baz Napier is their only backup point guard, backing up El Jefe Teague. Ugh. But I mean, they still do have Covington, Wiggins, and they've just got like decent NBA players, but I don't know. The supporting cast just doesn't have it, I think. That's a big problem. So what's a good season for the Wolves? Making the playoffs again? Yeah, they did in 2018 for the first time in 14 years, then last year sucked. So obviously Cat winning MVP would be good, and carrying him to the playoffs, that'd be huge. So that'd be a good season. Also, just making the playoffs, they would be over the fucking moon. But how does their season actually play out? I think Cat takes a step up and puts up MVP-ish numbers for the first few months, but then gets tired from carrying this fucking team. You see some random bad losses here and there, and they struggle to keep up with the West elite. And that's where some really hardcore truths. And then we start asking the Carl Anthony Towns question. Should the Wolves trade Carl Anthony Towns? Like, he hasn't even started like his next big contract. Amazing. But it'll happen, don't worry. Yeah, so I feel like they're just going to hit some speed bumps. They're going to look amazing at times and then shithouse a lot of the other times. But the West is that good that it's going to be fucking tough to keep up. What has to happen? Can they win the title? Yeah, nah. I think unless, like, Cat wins the MVP and Wiggins suddenly turns into Scottie Pippen and Jarrett Culver's another Scottie Pippen. Even then, I'm still not entirely convinced this team has enough. Like, Bobby Covington's fine, but they're still running Jeff Teague out at the point like they're trying to prove a fucking point or win a bet or something. It's fucking stupid. Aussie Outlook. Look, it's bad. I don't know why they didn't bring back the Creek Freak. They've got a long storied history of Australians there in Minnesota, from Shane the Hammer Heel, Lucian Longley, Nature Y, the Creek Freak. I mean, Creaky as well. He's like the exactly hard-nosed, do-everything-great teammate kind of do, filling the gaps that they need. So, Minnesota, you fucked up. Yeah. All right, record and prediction for the Wolves, 41-41, 11th in the West, because that's how tough the West is. You go 500 and you end up 11th. Tough. All right, let's get to number 11. Let's take a break. Right after, we'll say this one.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Cool. Getting to the pointy end now. We're up to 11.
Number 11.
And it is yours, my Brooklyn Nets. Yes, hello, Brooklyn. Oh, now I'm sad that Mikhail Prokhorov, hello, sold the team to Joey Tsai, and then Joey Tsai sold out America to China. Anyway, the Nets are at number 11 in the fucking prove it, mate, tier. Last year they went 42-46 in the East, lost in five to Philly in the first round. I don't know, did they do much in the offseason? You may have heard. I don't know. But yeah, that's right. The Nets did trade for Taurine, the Red Bull Prince. Woo! Also, yeah, they signed Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, DeAndre Jordan and Wilson Chandler and Garrett Temple and David Nwaba and Henry Ellenson and Lance Thomas. They drafted Nick Claxton. They love him. Also, they got Theo Pinson. Yeah, so a little bit went in on the additions and the subtractions as well. D'Angelo! Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Alan Crabb, Damari Carroll, Ed Davis, Jared Dudley, Baz Napier, Trevion Graham, all gone. So, I mean, the key dudes for the Nets, it's pretty obvious, right? It's Dinar Musa. Also Kyrie Irving. No KD this year, so really, 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 this all turns into, can Kyrie just be a much better version of D'Angelo Russell, a much more efficient version of D'Angelo Russell? And, you know, can he just, we'll get to this in the one big question, but can he not be a fuckhead? I don't know. So the key dudes, look, it's Kyrie, but it's also really my sweet baby Caris LeVert and Jarrett Allen, the sort of holdovers from last year as well as Spencer Dinwiddie. Spencer! If they can sort of take a step up and continue their upward trajectory, especially sweet baby Carrots, who's on his way to an all-star berth last year, I reckon, before he blew out his fucking ankle in horrifying fashion, but then came back towards the end of the year and was solid again. Look, without KD this year, I think that's fucking great for sweet baby Carrots, right? He doesn't get shunted automatically to the side. He gets to play alongside Kyrie. He can grow for another year and prove that he could be an amazing third banana. So let's get it, Carrots. Nice. Trade bait. This is a weird one. I sort of mentioned it earlier. Like, in some of these teams, they've had so much turnover that there's kind of no one. Like, Spencer Dinwiddie, maybe, but they just signed him to a nice extension that the NBA won't let him sell shares in. So I don't know. Like, who would you prefer over, like, Spencer Dinwiddie at a really good contract number? It's ridiculous. Jared Allen's young and good. I mean, maybe touring the Red Bull Prince, but at the same time, that's cost control production on the wing, and you fucking desperately need that until Kevin Durant joins your team properly. So, yeah, don't know. No real trade, but I think because they're so new at the moment. But let's do the one big question for the Brooklyn Nets. Yeah, it's a big one, right? Can Kyrie Irving prove that he's not a fucking piece of work and not a shitty teammate and not blow up another fucking talented young team? That's a pretty big question, and it's going to have a big bearing on this Brooklyn Nets season. And look, as I say that, Kyrie was just, you know, quoted as saying, basketball, this life, it's an illusion in terms of certain material things that mean a lot more based upon what you've accomplished or how successful you are or how people perceive you. In actuality, it really doesn't mean anything. Ah, fuck off, Kyrie. Jesus. All right, so the full quote. Kyrie just came out and said, basketball has been a vehicle that's driven me for a long time, but I think that the importance of my life outside of that has been something that I've been paying attention to a lot more. That's fine. Basketball, this life, it's an illusion in terms of certain material things that mean a lot more. I mean, like, going after success or accomplishments in this league has been predicated on so many things that you're here. And then sort of he talks about, like, you know, how high, you know, his arms are about his shoulders. Based upon what you've accomplished or how successful you are or how people perceive you. In actuality, it really doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't get me up in the morning every single day to want to meditate, to want to read, to want to do things that fulfill my life. He then added, I thought it was interesting in The Alchemist how he was looking for the alchemist, but the alchemist found him in the middle of the desert with this. And it's just like, I can't believe I just met him. And in doing so, sometimes meeting certain individuals, they embody so much of that wisdom that they want to impart on you. Naturally, sometimes the ego or naturally my personality would get in the way or pushing people away rather than bringing them closer and learning more about them. Well, then Kyrie, maybe you should pull your fucking head in and, you know, not push people away. And be open to this sort of shit. Be the alchemist, you fucking idiot. Oh, my God. I'm still waiting for him to, like, just jump in on the China thing and go, what is China? What is democracy? Fuck off. The good shit for Brooklyn. Look, even without Kevin Durant, they've still got Kyrie, Joe Harris, my sweet baby Carrots, Taurine the Red Bull Prince, Jared Allen. There's a lot of good stuff there. Musa and Kuroks were really fun rookies last year. They might be good now. There's a lot of talent on this team, I think. The biggest problems, obviously, the bad shit, Kyrie. Look, I just can't wait for him to say some shit about China being a state of mind or something. But the biggest problem will just be, like, you know, piecing together a roster out of a bunch of dudes who've never played together for the most part. Like, seriously, what, Carrots, Harris, go the fro, Jared Allen, Spencer Dinwiddie, like the basic holdovers. So, what's a good season for the Nets? Top four in the East, obviously. Kyrie doesn't fuck the team up and instead stay healthy and is like a gun and get some sneaky MVP talk. That's a good season. But yeah, it's a weird season as well for the Nets because it's kind of like the sort of build up to Kevin Durant coming back next season. It's a weird position to be in. But as long as they make the playoffs and they don't fuck up anything too badly and Kyrie's good, it's going to be a good season. How does this season actually play out, though? Well, I feel like it takes a while for the team to gel. Everyone yells, what's wrong with the Nets? Ignoring the fact that they have like four holdovers from last year. But then I think by the All-Star break, Kenny Atkinson and co have sort of got them all in line and they're fine. And I feel like Kyrie's going to have a pretty good year. So, what has to happen? Can they win the title? I mean, not without KD, but this is Carrot's place to shine. Get him, my sweet baby Carrots. Love it. I feel like they can make some noise and they'll be like a happy, smoky in the playoffs. But, yeah, I don't think they can win it. If everything goes like 150% great, like Carrots develops into basically like KD light and Jared Allen is essentially like, fucking Lob City DeAndre Jordan defensively and just is, young Tyson Chandler, that sort of shit, then maybe, but yeah, it doesn't look great, does it? Aussie outlook bad now that they've waived Dengadel. They had Creaky as well last year. What are you doing, Brooklyn? But at least they have fucking Aussie Kyrie, who I believe I've denounced a couple of times, but yeah. Anyway, come on, Brooklyn. We can do better. Let's get a couple of Aussies. You've already got Dan on, Dan Meehan on staff. He's a legend, so let's get this fucking happening. You had Will Weaver there in the Long Island Nets last year. Come on. So record and prediction for the Brooklyn Nets this year, 50-32. That's an 8-win improvement on last year. And that's even without Kevin Durant, but still fourth in the East. Ooh, tricky, Jimmy. Tricky. Yeah, it's not that tricky. All right, let's get to the last one for this tier. It's number 10. Let's do it.
Number 10.
All right, let's do it. Number 10, it is the Boston Celtics. That's right, we're bringing Boston in at number 10. Last year, they go 49-33. Pretty disappointing year all up. They didn't live up to expectations. They lose to the Bucks in the second round, 4-1 after Paul Pierce declared it over after the first game. Amazing stuff. Obviously, bit of stuff happened over the offseason. A couple of additions, couple of subtractions. Kemba Walker added on a 4-year max. Enes Kanter on a 2-year $10 million contract. They added Romeo Langford at number 14 from the draft. They added Carson Edwards, who's out there dropping 8 3s and a quarter. It might be your rookie of the year if you're a Boston fan. Grant Williams, Tremont Waters as well. Tremont Waters. What is he, a bastard of the Riverlands? Game of Thrones. Also, he's very small, which is hilarious because Taco Fall is fucking huge. And he was also undrafted, but now on a two-way contract with the Celtics. I feel like it takes 2 Tremont Waters to get to 1 Taco Fall. Yeah. Anyway, subtractions for the Celtics. Obviously, Kyrie Irving. We just talked about him on Brooklyn. He bailed. Good news for Brooklyn, though. Maybe they won't have a season ticket holder meeting and have everybody there going and say, hey, man, I can't wait to stay here forever. Al Horford subtracted as well. Aaron Bangers Baines. That hurts my heart. Marcus Morris, Scary Terry, Roger, they're all gone. So the key dudes left there in Boston. Look, it's Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. The double J's, isn't it? It really is. Look, because Boston, they've got the vets and Gordo fucking with his stupid MAGA hat, Hayward and Kemba Walker. Look, they're the leaders. You get that. But how far and how good the Celtics are this year almost entirely rest upon how like good Tatum and Brown are and how much they developed this year after their World Cup experience. Hayward, obviously being 2 years removed from that fucked leg injury, is also good. And he and Kemba are capital G good. But come on, man, this should be the Tatum and Brown show where you have Walker and Hayward filling in the gaps, doing the veteran good shit stuff on the side, and Tatum and Brown really take a step up. That's the key dude aspect of this. So trade bait for the Celtics. I mean, interestingly enough, if Gordon Hayward shows you anything here and there, I mean, would you think about moving him? Like for maybe Kevin Love? I mean, Boston loves a white guy. And if you're going to trade one of them away, you better get one in return. Dude, you see they traded Gordon Hayward, kid? Just imagine that. Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart, Tatum Brown, Langford. Look, Gordo's awesome, but he's also maybe a little bit of a luxury for the Celtics. So, I don't know. One big question. Kyrie is gone, so can the young Celtics prove that they're worth the fucking gushing and the hype over the last 2 years and actually be good? There's no excuses now. The Flat Earth guy, who fucking sucked, he's gone. He can't derail you anymore, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Marcus Smart. Marcus Morris is gone too. So, you know, a couple of fucking loose units in there. They're just gone. It's up to you. Can you prove that you belong in the upper echelon of the NBA? The good shit for the Celtics is, there's a fucking shit ton of talent on this team. Heaps of it. Walker, Smart, Tatum, Brown, Hayward, Cantor. It's pretty neat. Lots of talent. Also, Time Lord Bob Williams, Semi Ojeleye. I like the look of Langford. Like, it's just a lot of talent on this team. So that's the good shit. The bad shit, the biggest problem is their big man rotation is Enes the Penis Kanter, Danny Tice, and Bob Williams. Jesus, that's fucked. I mean, could you imagine the second round of the playoffs, like Joel Embiid looking across them going, oh, I'm jumping against Enes Kanter. Embiid might drop 50 and 20 for the fucking series. Yeah. So this is my big problem with them trading away Aaron Bangers Baines for essentially nothing. It's basically so they could bring in Walker, etc. And, you know, they had to free up cap space. But really, Aaron Bangers Baines is your fucking answer? Ugh. If they'd kept Baines, I'd feel much better about the Celtics, but they didn't, so fuck them. What's a good season? Tatum and Brown developing into what they've been touted as, which is one of the best young wing combos in the entire NBA. Tatum maybe becomes Melo 2.0. Brown becomes Scottie Pippen. You know, Walker leads the way. Hayward fills in the gaps. They are what they were supposed to be last year and roll to 60 wins in a weak-ass East. That's a really good season. Then everyone would lose their shit. That'd be pretty fun. And then they could surprise, you know, Philly or Milwaukee in the second round, make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Who knows at that point if they're on that much of a roll. That'd be a really good season. And basically, trying to be what they... what last year's season should have been, that'd be a good season this year. But really, you just want to see Tatum and Brown show you that they could be a fucking dominating wing pair for the next 10 years, right? How does this season actually play out? Well, I feel like it takes a while to figure out who works best with whom. Walker, Smart, Tatum, Brown all played heaps together over the summer of the World Cup and Team USA camps and everything. But they're going to translate that into NBA games, and I feel like it'll be a bit of a tricky initiation. Especially as they try to cover for Cantor on D. But, you know, I feel like it'll be a bit choppy, but there's just so much talent. I feel like Hayward, if he's got that spring back, fills in a lot of those choppy gaps. And I feel like it'll coalesce, and I feel like the talent and coaching smarts on this team prop them up, get them over 50 wins. I still feel like they lose to Philly in the playoffs, though. But, yeah, there you go. Over 50 wins. I think they're a fun team this year as opposed to last year where it was just fucking painful and boring to watch. So, yeah, nah, what has to happen? Can they win the title? Yeah, nah. I mean, fuck. Yeah, if they coalesce that amazingly right? Like, if Tatum ups his scoring into just, like, legendary fucking mid-20s, super efficient, gets rid of the stupid fucking mid-range jumpers. If Jaylen Brown is a terror playing for a big contract, if he doesn't take that extension... and defensively just turns into like neck level fucking Kawhi Leonard kind of dealio. If Kemba's like the ideal team first point guard who can also take over when needed and score at will, Gordo Hayward's back to his old self. Maybe they make a trade for Kevin Love or Marc Gasol or somebody at the deadline and it just works. They could win the title. But at the same time, I also kind of think, yeah, nah. I still don't think they can get past the top two in the East because look, the Aussie outlook. It's bad, you backstabbing Shamrock fucks. You traded away the greatest big man in the league, the man from Ariba himself, a fucking nothing. And now you've got the Baines curse. That's right, the Baines curse is on y'all. You don't have all of Australia backing you up now. You don't have all of Australia laying wood and protecting Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Tricky. So you better sign an Aussie and pronto, Boston. All right, so record and prediction for the Boston Celtics, 52-30. Third in the East, and so just ahead of Brooklyn at 15-32, and there you go. That's number 10. Holy shit. Cool. Whew. I'm rooted. Not bad for a bloke with a pretty rough hangover. All right, nice one. That's it. Sweet. That's it for today and it for this week. We are going back to daily next week. Holy shit, it's on. Unbelievable. So make sure you get around us on Monday. It's going to be fun as shit. We've got the last run of preview shows and then the season's basically here. Can you believe it? That's right. So before the season starts, make sure you've gotten around the NBA Australia Kickstarter. Go buy a t-shirt, stubby holder, all that good shit. Hit up the links on our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. Get a t-shirt, would ya? Yes, legendary. Make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that shit. All over the socials all the time, you know that. Get around NBAAustralia.com. Smash the Amazon button in the bottom right-hand corner. Go buy some shit. They kick us a shekel or two on the back end. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. iTunes doesn't exist. That's sad. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever app you use on your Android phone, Stitcher, Spotify. Fuck yeah. Rate and review. It helps out heaps. Love ya. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats, though. Debut I'm Running Out of Time is out now. It's the best Australian album of the year. I fucking love it. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout this show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. Legendary. All right, we're going to close out with a brand new episode of Rowdy's Recos. And we'll catch you next week, you dickheads. Oh, NBA season. It's almost here. I'm excited. All right, this is NBA Australia saying, Leaders on! Hello there, friends. It's Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff here, back for the latest installment of Rowdy's Recos, where I, Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff, try to help you live a little bit more of a stress-free life. I mean, after all, I survived playing in the Russian League, where we once got a week's pay in the form of gallon bottles of vodka. I also played in Indiana, where the entire crowd was related. So, I've dealt with ridding myself of my fair share of stress. So, this week's Rowdy's Reco is really, really easy. When you find life stressing you out, say you've got a new baby that's running you ragged, there's a really simple solution. Just get some sleep. Yep, doesn't matter when or how, just sleep as much as you can. A good night's sleep, 8 hours, doesn't matter even if it's just a quick nap. It's just all about feeling relaxed and refreshed. Because I know that when I was in Russia, I couldn't get any sleep because a lot of the times they were demolishing buildings next to us. And one time they started demolishing our building without telling us. So you can imagine it was pretty rough trying to sleep in those circumstances. So there you go. It's simple. If you're feeling tired and stressed, just ask your mum to come and stay and look after the baby so you get a nice long sleep. You'll wake up nice and relaxed and ready to take on the world. Okay, so that's our Rowdy Reco for this week. We'll have another one for you next week. Until then, I've been Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff. Keep living your best life, and namaste.